Windsor West MPP Lisa Gretzky today was on her feet in question period, wanting some answers, talking about needing funding to meet the growing demand for special ed needs here in Windsor Essex. And Lisa joins us now. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Patty. How you doing?
Good. So this is, I know you've been busy this week. You've been talking about a lot of issues, but this one, I think there's a lot of parents out there that want to have some answers, too, that you're going for. Tell us a little bit about the problems with the funding for special education.
So special education funding is for kids in the school system who have special education needs. So they might have a learning disability or an intellectual or developmental disability. And they require some specific assistance in learning. And for some students, that means they need extra staffing, like an educational assistant or a developmental support worker or special learning materials. And so that's specialized funding just for those students. And just in the Greater Essex County District School Board, just the public board alone in Windsor, they're projecting a deficit of, a shortfall in funding from the province of $10.2 million for next year, just in spec ed funding alone. And this year, I believe they were looking at a $5.4 million shortfall. So, and that's just our area. This is happening across the province. So what I'm calling on the government to do is ensure that the funding is in place, that there is adequate funding to be able to support the students that have those exceptional needs.
So is the funding being cut, or is it just not growing with the needs that are growing in the schools?
Yeah, the government is cutting funding in education. They have been since they formed government. That's not new. But the minister today in his response talked about additional funding they have put into the system. But that funding that they put into the system doesn't even keep up with inflation. So the cost of everything has gone up, and yet the boards are not being funded at a level to even address inflation, let alone an increase in enrollment. So the Greater Essex County District School Board, 100 or more additional students to what they already have who have special education needs, and the provincial funding is not coming to address that need. So it's just a complete, years of underfunding of the education system is really what it is. And the government is not making any effort to catch up on those shortfalls.
So what does this mean for the students? Does this mean they won't have those supports in place, that they'll be there? There'll be like, one support for too many kids, or how's it going to work?
Yeah, oftentimes what it means is, so school boards in some cases have reserves, and those aren't just rainy day, we get to spend it on anything funds. Those are set aside specifically to deal with, if a roof on a school needs to be redone, or repaving has to be done, or a boiler goes, or they need some funding to put into the special programming. That's what that money's for. So it's not like they're just holding on to it and not wanting to spend it. So the boards do that. They dip in as much as they can, but those reserves are very limited. Once they're gone, they're gone. So in some cases, what it's going to mean is that there will be students who do not have the staffing ratios they need to provide them that extra support. Some students need one-on-one support, and they may not get that. And in some cases, maybe the board isn't going to be able to keep on as many staff as they need to address the needs of the students that have need specialized education supports. So ultimately, it's the kids that suffer, families of those kids that are suffering because the government does not fund the programs appropriately.
The public school board, you said, is seeing a projected deficit of over $10 million this coming year. Has this been coming on for a few years? Has this just happened since, things got right back into school post-pandemic?
Well, so the deficit they're projecting this coming school year, that $10.2 million, is just in special education. So that's not board-wide. That's just in the special education funding and what they need in order to address the growth in students. So they're going to have approximately 200 or more new students with special education needs on top of what they already have. So that's just the deficit for that. Last year, there was the shortfall of $5.4 million. So this is an ongoing problem. I was a trustee years ago, and we were constantly flagging it with the government of the day that there was a shortfall in special education funding. But what's happening is it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And that's really something that the government needs to address, is to ensure we can't keep blaming the school boards or the education workers in the system and saying they're not doing good enough. The government has to take some responsibility for this and ensure that they're funding the system appropriately.
Lisa, while we're talking, you know, today we hear that the province is set to increase wages of early childhood educators. They want to boost recruitment and retention. Your thoughts on where they're going with that?
Well, I think that's one direction they need to go to, is absolutely ensure that the ECEs, whether that is in the child care setting or whether in a school setting, they are getting paid a fair wage for the work that they do. Sometimes that's incredibly difficult work. Sometimes they're supporting kids with special needs as well. So that's one direction to go. But they have to look at the overall picture. Why are they leaving? There aren't enough of them. They get burnt out. They get overworked, and they don't want to work in the field anymore. They feel disrespected. And so the government really needs to talk to them. That's the first thing, is to have a conversation with ECEs in the child care sector and the education sector and find out exactly why these workers do not want to stay in the field that they're in. Because if the government just comes forward with policies or announcements without actually talking to the frontline workers, those policies and announcements aren't going to help the situation. We're going to continue to see folks leaving that field.
So, and you know what, our listeners are telling us the same thing this afternoon, that, you know what, it's not just money, that they say their ECE workers are hard to find, because not just pay, but whatever the education expectations, parent expectations, everything that's going on, that there's a lot more to it than just the money. So hearing that, they said, is not going to be the end result that maybe the government's thinking.
Yeah, I mean, these workers, I mean, if people think of childcare, just in the childcare sector alone, they think of the ECEs in the childcare sector working in childcare, so therefore they must be able to find affordable childcare spaces for their own children. But oftentimes that is not the case, and that's a barrier for them being in the workplace. And I would say the same with those that work in the education sector. We need to make sure that they have that access to childcare, that there are incentives for them to be in the workplace, that the wage that they're making is something where they can afford to keep a roof over their head and feed their children and participate in community. And currently, that is not the case. And this is not an overnight fix. This government has waited quite a long time to address this. So, I mean, at least they're having the conversation and talking about increasing wages, but they really need to talk to the early childhood educators and find out all of the issues that they're facing and work with them in order to address the problem.
Okay. You know, we're heading into the summer recess for legislature. What are the things planned for you? What projects do you have on your plate?
Getting back into the community. So that's one of the toughest things when the legislature is sitting, is it draws me out of the community, you know, 4, 5, 6 days at a time sometimes. So I'm really looking forward to being in the community for a few months straight and be able to connect with constituents, go knocking on some doors. I love canvassing outside of elections where you actually can sit and have conversations with folks, attend some of the festivals and things going around in the community, and also getting to spend some family time, some quality time with my granddaughter.
The federal government's going to, they've approved going to the hybrid brand of not every MP having to be in Parliament to talk, which is certainly, of course, MPs traveling great distances to be there. What are your thoughts on that in Ontario? Would that work?
That should have been implemented at the beginning of the pandemic, frankly, provincially. We had asked for it, and the Democrats had asked for a model like that so that we could do virtual Parliament when nobody was able to be at the legislature because of COVID. And it was actually the Conservative government who insisted that we just weren't going to do that. So I think that is definitely something to consider. I know that there are MPPs from all sides who sometimes have health struggles of their own, or a family member, or caregivers to elderly parents. And it would certainly make it easier for MPPs to participate if there were virtual options. And I also think that that's something they need to look at as far as encouraging more people to run for political office, is to look at the realities of the day and time that we're living in now, and have that kind of hybrid where some folks are there in person and others can attend virtually as well.
my God. Well, Lisa, enjoy your projects this summer and a little more family time, and I'm sure we'll see you around at events. Thank you.
Thanks, Patty. Take care.
You too. That is New Democrat MPP Lisa Gretzky from Windsor West today was in question period demanding an increase in funding to meet the growing demand for special ed needs in Windsor Essex. It's 4